Welcome to this introduction for the audio-described performance of A Child of Science, a new play written by Gareth Farr and directed by Matthew Dunster. The show is on Saturday, June 29th at 2:30pm, with a touch tour of the stage and set at 12:30pm. Before the performance, there will be a recap of these introductory notes, beginning at 2:15pm. A Child of Science lasts around 2.5 hours, including a 20-minute interval. The performance will be described by Jake Hayes. This introduction lasts around 13 minutes and includes information about the set, props, characters and costumes, followed by content guidance and access information. The set. A Child of Science takes place over a 20-year period across multiple locations in the UK and the US. Dynamic 12-foot-high sliding glass walls are used to create a variety of locations, from hospital rooms to laboratories, domestic living spaces to newspaper offices. The glass walls divide the settings and the textured panes sometimes offer blurred or distorted views of the action. For example, in hospital wards, we see patients on beds obscured by the glass, while the doctors working with them remain in full view through clear panes, sometimes specially lit to create different atmospheres. At times, video is projected onto the glass, giving details of the place and time, show faces of female singers, and archive footage from the 1970s. Rooms are fitted with props specific to their function. For example, in Bob Edwards' laboratory, he works at a desk with a microscope, corded telephone, and Anglepoise lamp. Beside him is a metal shelving unit packed with test tubes and beakers. In hospital scenes, a pair of tall swing doors are placed center stage, framed by the glass-paneled walls. On the wards and in surgery, there is a large circular surgeon's lamp and a metal-framed hospital bed. At the Medical Research Council, the glass walls disappear altogether, and the black space is bare, lit by stark white overhead strip lights. The room is deep and full height, creating an intimidating atmosphere. A separate mobile room, 8 feet tall and 12 feet wide, appears during part two. It takes on different roles, including a bus shelter, hospital office, Californian garden room, and papal podium. It is open at the front, with 4 illuminated panels above. The back wall is tiled with opaque glass blocks, with 3 larger clear window panes in the top third. The room is frequently backlit to create different moods or suggest a specific location, such as the dappled reflection of a swimming pool. Occasionally, we're in more than one place at the same time. This is suggested by the positioning of walls, the use of projection, and lighting. For example, we visit a newsroom where the logo of the Daily Express newspaper is projected onto the glass wall. In front is the lab of Bob Edwards, simply created using 2 desks, and behind the glass is the mobile room, which comes into focus when it's picked out by a spotlight. Characters and costumes. A Child of Science features 34 characters, played by 11 actors in 54 historically accurate costumes. The play spans the period 1958 to 1978, with characters aging and changing appearance over the years. For clarity, they are described here in distinct groups, with ages given from the moment they first appear. The research team. Robert Bob Edwards is a research scientist in his mid-30s. He is a white man of average height and build. His hair is light brown and swept over in an often dishevelled side parting. He wears a sleeveless brown knitted tank top with a diamond argyle pattern on top of a white shirt and black tie with small white flecks. His sleeves are usually rolled up, showing his watch. He has loose-fitting brown check trousers and brown leather shoes. Bob often wears a lab coat while at work. He is an intense figure with a knitted brow, often stooped over his work and highly focused. Ruth Fowler is a 28-year-old geneticist in Bob's lab. She's a white woman of average height, with brown mid-length hair. Ruth wears round, wire-framed glasses and a green linen shirt dress. She often appears exasperated at Bob. Patrick Steptoe is a gynecologist in his mid-40s. A white man of average build, he stands at 6 feet tall. Patrick has swept back grey hair receding at the sides. He wears a subtle dark green tartan suit with a white shirt, black striped tie and black leather shoes. He is engaged with the people around him, often assessing them keenly through thick black framed glasses. Sheena Steptoe is Patrick's wife, a tall, slim woman in her 30s with light brown skin and short black hair. She is nearly always on the move, busying herself around the house and paying keen attention to her husband. Sheena wears smart blouses and tartan skirts in the 60s and a flowing zigzag patterned skirt and waistcoat in the 70s. Jean Purdy is a nurse and lab assistant to Bob. She is 5 feet 9 inches tall with a slim build. Jean wears her brown hair in a long bob and dresses in stylish professional outfits. We first meet her as a schoolgirl, wearing knee-length socks, a tartan skirt and a maroon top. When she starts work, this is worn with a lab coat. In the 1970s, Jean switches to a sober, knee-length grey skirt and blue-checked tank top, enlivened by a yellow double-breasted coat. Jean often stands back in conversations, but her face is keen and alert, and she intervenes with passion and humour. Margaret Isherwood, family and friends. Margaret is a woman in her early 20s. She has light brown skin and dark brown shoulder-length hair, often worn up in a messy bun. Margaret is slim and of average height with piercing brown eyes and a lively demeanour. Her style changes with the times, dressing in plus fours in 1958, silk blouses and swirly psychedelic dresses in the 60s, maroon flared trousers in the 1970s, and into longer pink skirts and dresses as the decade progresses. Anne is Margaret's best friend, a white woman in her early 20s. She has shoulder-length ready brown hair, is slim and of average height. She wears a grey and white knee-length dress, which later doubles as a maternity dress worn over trousers. Mrs. Sharp is Margaret's no-nonsense mother. A solid, middle-aged white woman with bobbed brown hair, Mrs. Sharp is constantly smoking and glowering at the people around her. When roused to action, she moves surprisingly quickly. Trevor Isherwood is Margaret's husband, a stocky white man in his 30s. Trevor, like all of the husbands we meet, is beginning to develop a middle-aged spread and has a soft, round face with short hair and a shiny complexion. He dresses in greys and beiges, sometimes with a sports jacket. Hospital staff and patients. Nurse Annabelle is one of the staff members at Oldham Hospital. Like the other nurses we meet, she wears a traditional white dress with blue trim, cut below the knee, with a white nurse's cap. Annabelle is short, with white skin and a medium build. She's always on the go and rarely found without a clipboard in hand. Mike Ashwood-Smith is a Canadian research scientist in Bob's lab. He's a short, middle-aged man with light brown skin and side-parted black hair. Mike is excitable, often bouncing around the lab. He makes points with insistent finger-pointing. Dr. Molly Rose is a gynecologist colleague of Bob's. She's a white woman in her 40s who dresses in comfortable skirts and cardigans and has a medium build. Dr. Rose has a brisk, efficient manner and isn't afraid to push herself forward in tricky situations. Dr. Gaskell is Oldham Hospital's medical director. A black man of average height and in his mid-50s, Dr. Gaskell has a relaxed, non-confrontational manner. Always dressed in a long white lab coat, he often stands back with hands clasped behind him, assessing situations without getting too involved. Leslie Brown is one of several women taking part in the research program. A white woman in her 20s, she has bobbed, wavy blonde hair, is slim and of average height. She appears nervous and frequently clasps her hands on her lap. Dr. Sanderson, Dr. Gregory, and Dr. Willis are members of the Medical Research Council. They are usually found together and present themselves in a formal, mannered fashion, making their points with confident hand gestures. The trio dress in identical navy woolen suits with matching waistcoats and ties. Others. Alan Carter is a newspaper reporter for the Daily Express. He dresses in baggy grey suits with wide lapels and bell-bottom trousers, together with a salmon pink shirt, complete with huge collars. Alan has a confident physicality, standing with his feet apart or leaning cockily against walls with one foot crossed over the other. Lillian Lincoln Howell is a wealthy American investor from San Francisco. She is a tall, slender woman with light brown skin who moves with cat-like grace. Lillian wears a flowing orange animal print dress with sheer skirt and has long wavy brown hair that cascades over her shoulders. The Archbishop of Liverpool is a short man with light brown skin and thick black framed glasses. He wears black robes with a purple sash and stands with his back slightly bent as he makes his entreaties with dramatic hand gestures. Pope John Paul I, the leader of the Catholic Church, appears in his white regalia, including skirt, cassock, cape and skullcap. He moves purposefully and stands erect, making his points with elegant hand gestures. Credits. Robert Bob Edwards is played by Tom Felton. Patrick Steptoe, Jamie Glover. Jean Purdy, Meg Bellamy. Margaret Isherwood is played by Adele Leonce. Ruth Fowler, Anne, Leslie Brown and Carol are all played by Bebe Sanders. Sheena Steptoe, Lillian Lincoln Howell, Deborah Atkinson, Elizabeth, Jennifer and Pope John Paul I are played by Sunoya Mizuno. Trevor Isherwood, Mr. West, Mr. Kerr and Mr. Maguire are played by Bobby Hurston. Nurse Annabelle, Mrs. Sharp and Molly Rose are played by Amy Loughton. Dr. Sanderson, the Archbishop of Liverpool, Mike Ashwood-Smith and the news reporter are played by Syket Ahemed. Alan Carter, Dr. Gregory and Frank Howell are played by Griffith Glynn. Dr. Willis, Dr. Gaskell, Mr. Turner and the newspaper editor are all played by Everil A. Walsh. Production team. Writer, Gareth Farr. Director, Matthew Dunster. Set designer, Anna Fleischel. Costume and associate designer, Angelica Rush. Lighting designer, Sally Ferguson. The sound designer was Neve Gaffney for Autograph. Composer, Genevieve Dawson. Video designer, Gino Ricardo Green. Costume supervisor, Ilona Karas. Hair and makeup design by Zoe Louise Gale. The associate director was Alex Harris. Casting director, Matilda James for the CDG. Assistant director, Orla O'Connor. Wardrobe assistants, Ruth Ramsey, Zena Jones, Ruby Makin, and Maya Saldrup. And the postiche maker was Izzy Purser. Content guidance. This show explores themes of infertility and child loss and includes scenes of medical procedures, visible blood, and smoking. Herbal cigarettes are used. Access information. The Bristol Old Vic is accessible through the theatre's main entrance on King Street. Please note that the street is cobbled and there is an open-air bar area outside the theatre. Full access information for the Bristol Old Vic can be found at https://bristololdvic.org.uk/your-visit/access/general-access-information. If you need any further assistance, for example, if a visit to the theatre in advance of the show would help, then either contact the box office on 0117 987 7877, 1pm to 6pm Monday to Friday, or Saturday 2:30pm to 6pm, or email access@bristololdvic.org.uk. That is the end of this audio introduction.